To learn the ABCs, improve your GPA, write like a PhD, and organize for the IRS, all you need is an MAC.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and joining me today, he's Cult of Mac's news editor. And no, he doesn't want to pose for you, Playgirl magazine. Please stop calling. Buster Hine is here.
Hey, Erfan.
You told him no, right?
Is Playgirl still even around? Is that a thing still?
Don't act.
They don't do nudes anymore, do they?
They don't?
No.
So why are you saying no, man? They just want to talk to you for the article.
Playboy doesn't, right?
No, Playboy doesn't do the nudes.
But Playgirl still does?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Do they, Buster?
Playgirl? I don't know. I turned down a lot.
Your subscription ran... Yeah.
Your subscription ran dry. Also joining us, he's Coldplay's number one fan. In fact, he has a special lighter that he only uses at Coldplay concerts during the power ballads. Leander Caney is here.
The flame looks like a big middle finger.
Do you just sit there and just shake the lighter back and forth as you weep as they sing The Scientist in the crowd, Leander?
Yeah, I'm often too overcome to even...
because you just are so overcome by Chris Martin and Coldplay's music.
Do you see, I got a lot of criticism on Twitter about Coldplay.
About how you don't like them and you're wrong as a human for not liking
them?
Yeah,
right.
Dude, Coldplay is awesome.
What?
Yes.
You like Coldplay?
Yes, we've had this conversation. Yeah. I think the reason they're so popular is because they're so phenomenal.
Okay, well.
And I don't think they're Radiohead ripoffs.
I think the Super Bowl proved otherwise, but whatever.
Okay, I didn't see them at the Super Bowl. Was it a pretty bad performance?
Well, I mean, just Beyonce just outshined everybody.
Yeah, why did they do that?
Oh my goodness gracious, yeah.
Why did they do that to themselves?
Right.
That is such a strange duo. Coldplay and Beyonce?
They're good friends. They're good friends. Beyonce's BFF with, what's her face?
Don't act like you don't know.
I can't remember her name. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh,
okay. Chris Martin's ex-wife.
But that's his ex-wife, so...
Yeah, but they were buds. You know, they were all going on vacation together. Her, Jay-Z, Chris, and Gwyneth.
Yeah, he's done songs with Jay-Z before.
He has?
Yeah.
I haven't been following their career as much as you, I guess.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're a secret Coldplay fan. As much crap as you guys give me. You know, like, their whole entire discography, it's like...
Yeah. Well, I can't believe it. On Twitter, only one person, you know, came to my defense.
Yeah, there's a reason only one person came to your defense, Leander. It's because Coldplay is one of the greatest bands of all time.
I don't know. My dad said Coldplay was pretty awesome during the Super Bowl halftime show.
So apparently, your dad's a pretty cool dude.
My dad's not cool. That's why I was like, thank you, Dad. You reaffirmed that they are not cool.
Clearly, we have the wrong Hine on this show. We need to get your dad on this show. What is he doing? Is he retired, perhaps?
Yeah.
Maybe he's available during the day.
Well, he's too busy watching his old Coldplay videos.
Yeah, he's got no time. He's watching Coldplay videos. All right. Well, we got lots of Apple stuff to talk about this week. And here's the docket we have for this week. So we're clearly going to be talking about this hacking thing. And I want to get your guys' take on this situation because Apple's been put in kind of a strange situation. In fact, I think this is one of the most important legal cases of our time. And this is something the government is really looking to use to set a precedent for themselves, it seems like. So it's going to be interesting to see how this whole hacking thing turns out. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you will shortly. We're also going to be talking about, I'm going to make a case to you guys. I was thinking about this last night, about new MacBook Pros and MacBooks. And I think that we might be in for a major redesign this year. Like you know, totally revamped machines. And I'm going to make my case to you, and I'm sure you guys are going to tell me how wrong I am, and then I'll be proved right come March or June. We will see.
Right.
And then also, if you stick around to the end, we are going to be doing an all-new Faves and Raves and Faves and Raves and Faves. And this is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech or apps and then vote on which one's best. And I have got a pretty great one this week. It's I think something that every iOS owner should have, and I've had endless guffaws with it, and I think that you will too. And Leander said he had a pretty good pick. Buster is going to find something before the end of the show, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
I didn't realize it was going to be like an app or a piece of hardware. I thought it was just like something we were into. I thought we were going to expand it out, you know, like get a little more flexibility there.
Well, no, we do a segment called What We're Into. Is that the segment you're thinking about?
Yeah, that's the segment I was thinking about. Because I was going to talk about a TV show.
Oh, that sounds great.
Okay, well, then why don't we switch it to a What We're Into?
Yeah.
Because I bet you Buster's going to have like a similar pick, right, Buster?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let's do that instead. And I'll still use my same pick. We just won't vote. Which, I mean, I never win anyway, so that's fine with me. Okay, before we hop into the fun, let me say thanks to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace, build a beautiful, responsive website quickly at squarespace.com. Enter offer code CULTCAST at checkout to save 10% off any order. Squarespace.com. Get started with your free trial now. Squarespace.com. Also want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. FreshBooks, the easy-to-use invoicing software designed to help small business owners get organized and save time invoicing and get paid faster. And of all those things, it does all of them very well. And you've heard me talk about FreshBooks before. I always talk about the invoicing application of FreshBooks, right? It makes it super easy to create invoices, send your clients invoices, and get paid faster. But FreshBooks actually does a ton of other stuff besides just that. For example, you can conduct business anywhere with their beautiful, newly redesigned iOS app. You can create an invoice from any location. Let's say you go to someone's work site, you want to create an estimate for them. You create the estimate right there. You can send it to them right there to kind of keep the momentum of your deal going. And then if you want, you can convert that estimate into an invoice. You could track all of your time in FreshBooks and in the app on iOS. It makes it very easy to do. That way you actually know exactly how much you're supposed to be billing your clients in. And I forget the exact statistic, but I read a while back that most people who bill for their time underbill because they're not quite sure exactly how much time they're spending. And a lot of people err on the side of caution. So with FreshBooks, you can actually make more money because you'll be billing for the actual time that you work on a project. You can track every expense on the spot using your iPhone's camera, so you don't have to save receipts anymore. And at the end of the year, you can give all these digital receipts right to your bookkeeper or accountant. And you can generate reports for them to show exactly what your expenses were, how much income you've made, your revenue, all that stuff. So you're going to save money on your tax bill and you're going to get your taxes done faster. Anyway, get started with a free trial, freshbooks.com/cultcast. You can get a free 30-day trial. Enter code CULTCAST in the how did you hear about us section, por favor. That means please. We would be forever grateful. Jeez, El Caney rushing me.
Serious.
Via text in the background.
I almost fell asleep rushing twice.
You. Oh my, jeez.
Good Lord. I just went to the bathroom and then I went and got some coffee.
I thought you were British, clearly you're a Russian. Dad joke, sorry. Okay, where should we start here? Where are my notes? See, you got it, Buster.
Squarespace.
Got it.
It's awesome.
We're not even talking about Squarespace.
No, shoot. FreshBooks.
Clearly
books.
You
They're
were
awesome.
In the bathroom. I'm going to let you do the FreshBooks spots from now on. We'll see how they like it. We'll be like,
what are the freshest books?
Your canned books.
Freshest books, bestest books. I mean, that's what they are, Leander. That's
I know, yeah.
They are.
That we was should, a fun one.
Yeah, we should bring that back. Okay, let's talk about, quick update. The Air 53 update that we spoke ad nauseum about, I think last week. Buster, was it last week?
Yeah, it was.
You should know because I made you talk about it for like 20 minutes.
It's fixed.
Apparently, it's fixed. Did you hear about this, Buster?
Yeah, I wrote about that, bro.
Did you already write about it on Cold Mac today?
Yeah,
oh,
dude. Thanks for reading the website.
Dude, I don't read that website. It sucks. I mean, I love it. Tell us more, please.
Just Apple finally released the fix for it, and they've said they were sorry. They said it was supposed to only be during the factory process, and that, I don't know, somehow it got out. I don't believe it.
Yeah, so that Air 53 was intentionally designed to let factory technicians test the iPhones, and yeah, it wasn't ever supposed to see the light of day as far as consumers are concerned. And they also said, and this is important, that if it actually bricked your phone, you can go to Apple and show them proof that you got a out of warranty iPhone replacement, and they will give you a reimbursement, or they said contact them about a reimbursement. So if that was you, you may actually get your money back. So that's good news for everyone involved. Okay, let's start with this. We got a tweet from our listener, Josh Holm. I'm not sure if it's Josh Holm or Josh Holmey. Hopefully it's Holmey. I like the sound of that. What a homie. By the way, do you guys see that I included the link to the Twitter link to his profile?
Yeah.
Click on that. Click on that and click on his profile pic. Let's take a look at this guy.
Looks like he's got a prom pic there.
Dude, he's got his prom pic here. And just tell me this guy isn't just next level swagger right here with his white rose attached to his suit jacket. So he's, like, got a purple shirt on too. He's got a bold choice.
He's got a white corsage on. That's
looking good.
Very lovely.
Looking good, Josh. And I like that you matched your purple shirt to your date. Looking good, my friend. Okay. He asks, I'm looking to get a MacBook Pro or a MacBook or an Air on a budget. It's going to be used mostly for light school stuff. What do you recommend? I feel like we get this question every so often. Buster, what would you recommend to someone trying to get a, well, I guess any of the notebooks? Which one would you recommend? And
dude, just get whatever's cheapest, man. I don't know. I mean, that matters. Like, it's just going to be used mostly light for school. So I would get like the 11-inch MacBook Air.
You think so?
Yeah. That's what I would do. But, you know, if it was coming out of my pocket. I mean, sure, if you're going to, you could get a 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro, but do you really need that much machine? I don't know. Are you overcompensating?
I think the real man would argue, yes, you do. Definitely. You need that much power. What were you going to say, Leander?
No, that's too much machine for college. All you need is a MacBook Air.
Yeah, but the MacBook Airs are so old. They haven't updated those things in forever. So I guess
you mean the design is old. The chips aren't old.
Yeah, the design is old. The design is really old. So
it's a, you know, go with success.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great design. It's, I mean, I've had mine, same one, for like 2-3 years now. It's awesome. Or you can
go forever.
There's the new Retina MacBook. Get that if you have to have something that looks better. Kyle.
And I would always recommend get a refurb. I mean, we're right on the verge of getting new MacBooks. So if you're looking to get a new MacBook, you should definitely wait. But if you're going to get one now, absolutely get a refurb.
Yeah, yeah. So refurbs, that's a great deal.
They're a great deal. I mean, for people that have never bought a refurb before, they're basically brand new machines. I mean, you literally cannot tell the difference between a brand new machine and a refurb.
Right. Same warranty.
Same exact warranty. They switch out the battery, so you get a brand new battery. And I was looking at the refurb prices last night, Josh. And you can get a 13-inch MacBook Pro for about, I saw one for, I think, $1,100. So if you want to get a MacBook Air, you can get a MacBook Air less expensive than that. If you get it refurbed, you could probably get an 11-inch for like maybe $800, possibly even $700, depending on how old it is. But if you want some power, if you want the real raw horsepower, and you don't want to be carrying around some dainty machine like Buster, and you don't mind a little extra weight because the MacBook Air is obviously like 2 pounds, super light. You can get a 13-inch MacBook Pro. That's the way I would go. And that way, this cute little number in your profile pic, she knows that you're a real man.
Oh, my goodness. Look, is that a MacBook Pro?
Or she'll be more impressed that you can carry your Retina MacBook anywhere you want to go, and you're not lugging around a giant slab of aluminum if you buy a Pro. Just saying.
Oh, so she'll be impressed by your... How does that impress her again? I'm confused.
It's just a way better computer. It looks cuter.
So she's like, wow, you saved yourself a buck.
It's like, oh.
And it's lighter.
If you buy a MacBook Pro, it's like you're bringing a monster truck. If you buy the MacBook Retina MacBook, it's like a sports car. Which one's funner? I don't know.
Sports car?
Yeah.
I'm confused. Okay, well, this segues nicely into... Thank you for the question, Josh. This segues nicely into my case for new MacBook Pros and new MacBook Airs. So in doing a little bit of perusing, looking at the prices and stuff last night, it got me thinking, wow, we haven't seen an updated MacBook Pro in a long time. So we got the unibodies in 2008. That was the major refresh. And then in 2012, we got the Retina screen, the SSD, and they lost the optical drive. So they got much sleeker. But we really haven't had any big update since then. And it was 4 years since we went from the unibody to the major update with the Retina screen and the SSD. And it's been 4 years now since we got the Retina screen, the SSDs, and lost the optical drives. So I'm thinking, if we don't get new MacBook Pros at this March event that Apple has not announced, the rumored March event, and they wait till June, I think we're going to be getting major refreshes of the MacBook Pro. And I would say the same thing about the MacBook Air, because the last major MacBook Air redesign happened in 2010. So we're getting on over 6 years now. And they really have only done spec bumps since then. They haven't had any major updates. And if you can't even get them with the Retina screens yet. And with the MacBook introduced in 2015, the MacBook Air and the MacBook are kind of too similar to me. They seem like they're going to converge at some point. So my full hypothesis here, if we see updates in March, they're going to be spec bumps, probably not major redesigns. If we see them in June, I'm saying they're going to say, so long to the MacBook Air, just give us some MacBooks and a radically new MacBook Pro that looks a lot more like the MacBook. Tell me I didn't just blow your minds right there. What do you think, Leander? Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, wasn't this, you know, common knowledge? Didn't everyone
figure
this out before?
tell me something we don't know, man.
You guys never thought about this. This is all brand new information to you.
We've talked about that before, about them just getting done with the MacBook Air lineup and going with, like, maybe a different size MacBook, a Retina MacBook, too.
I don't recall this conversation.
No, I'm not crazy, am I, Leander?
If only there were a way to verify
it. Buster's idea, and now you're pinning his own ideas back to him.
I don't listen to what you guys say during the show.
Oh, man.
Okay, so do you guys think it's possible then, the timing? Doesn't the timing feel right? It's been 4 years since the last major MacBook Pro update, 6 years from the MacBook Air. Doesn't it feel like we need some new MacBook Pros?
I don't know if we do, to be honest. I mean, do we need a whole new redesign on the MacBook Pro? Why? Like, what's going to change? That's what I'm wondering. Unless they go with what? They'll just make it slightly thinner? And
they're going to make it more like the MacBook, I think. It's going to be thinner. It's going to have that keyboard that some people hate and some people love.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm hoping, I'm praying they do not go to USB-C for the MacBook Pro.
That's what I'm... Okay, so they could do that.
I will be truly upset if they do that, because I'm going to buy probably whatever MacBook MacBook Pro they introduce next. And the MagSafe adapter is one of the best inventions Apple has ever made. Anyone disagree about that?
No, it's a great one. It's definitely, that's one of the greats. But you can get an adapter now. People are making a USB-C adapter,
right?
Which is super clever. You know, it slots into the USB-C slot, but then it has a magnetic breakaway, so it's the same.
Why didn't Apple think about that?
Yeah.
Right?
And then people are suggesting you do it both ends, which I guess...
That would be nice. Yeah. So when you trip over your cord, it wraps around your ankles, like one of those things that people throw when you're ready to land.
Like a bowler.
You fall to your death.
But your MacBook stays exactly where
you put your MacBook... It goes on to your posterity because it lives on unharmed.
Well, they were doing it too you can also get them for iPhones for the Lightning adapter, which is pretty cool. I think it was actually the ones at both ends was mainly for that, and I can't remember why. There was a reason.
I don't know, just because. Because why have magnets at one end when you could have two ends? That's the marketing slogan right there. And who makes that, by the way? It's Griffin, isn't it?
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Okay. Anyway, if you have a MacBook, that's definitely something. That's like one of the first things I would buy, I would think. Because I've tripped over my power cable, I mean, 100 times. I've tripped over it so many times, and it saved my computer. You know, when you're spending as much as you are on a MacBook Pro, you want to make sure that...
You know where they apparently got the idea for that?
No.
Japanese rice cookers.
What?
It was a common feature in Japanese rice cookers because, you know, you don't want kids pouring boiling hot water onto themselves.
You mean if they run and they trip over the rice cooker, they don't want the thing, they'll fall over and...
Right, and scald the kids. Yeah.
Wow,
so apparently they were fixed on Japanese rice cookers for years.
Oh, interesting.
Before they came to computers, yeah.
Where did you get that completely random piece of information from? You just bent over and pulled that right out. Good for you.
I got it from when I was researching one of the books, you know, like the Steve Jobs book. I somehow, I don't know. I don't know how I got hold of that. But I got it sort of semi-officially, too. That someone told me that that was the source of inspiration.
So you're saying that that piece of information that you shared as though it were fact could be completely false.
Well, no. I got it from... I think it was one of the designers told me that, that that's where they got it from.
Ooh,
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure that that's where it was. I think, I think it was...
Yeah.
What, Leander? Say it. Say it.
I don't know. It's a good story. Why ruin it?
No. It totally says on this Ask Patents thing, certain deep fryers had magnetic connector in years in Japan before Apple introduced it.
Deep fryers? Oh, yeah. So not rice cookers, huh?
Not rice cookers, but deep fryers. But
so
yeah, that makes sense too.
The MagSafe connector. And the bitter irony, of course, being that no one can use the MagSafe connector now because Apple has it patented. So that's why you never see it anywhere.
Such d-
Yuck.
Well, that particular MagSafe, the MagSafe connector, not the that's true. That is pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah,
but they don't want they're really complex. In fact, I stumbled across this page run by a Google engineer, and the guy is an expert on adapters, power adapters, and
he's also single.
he did this huge test. Where he was running to test the quality of the current coming through all of these different adapters. And he did this post about how amazingly complex they are. You know why it takes a couple of minutes? You know, like, it takes a few seconds when you plug the MagSafe adapter in for the light to come on?
Yeah.
That's because it's doing this amazingly complex handshake backwards and forwards with the AC power adapter.
Really?
To make sure that it's plugged in properly, that it's pulling exactly the right wattage and the volts and whatever, you know, the right current. It's not overheating. It's actually identifies the... device to the adapter, so it doesn't give it too much power.
Hmm.
There was I was like my jaw dropped, hit the ground because there was so much going on. You just plug it right in, but these are surprisingly sophisticated devices that do a whole bunch of stuff, and they're really safe too. That has a lot to do with it. You know, the safety concerns, making sure they don't overheat, making sure they don't pull too much power, making sure they don't set fire to the MacBook or the brick at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, is the risk you get when you get a cheap, nasty one.
That they're going to explode into flames?
Yeah, they're really, they cut a lot of corners. He actually had one, like a knockoff one that looks like an Apple adapter. I mean, it's made to look like an official one.
Yeah.
But it's kind of comical. They always they spell Apple, APPEL or something like that.
Yeah, right. Or they use like the @ to spell Apple.
Yeah, there was some really funny, really obvious mistakes that they made. But the trouble is, of course, the print is so tiny on those things. In fact, I had to get one the other day and I couldn't even see the print. I had to take a picture of it on my iPhone and then blow up the picture to see what it said.
On the bottom of your MagSafe adapter?
Yeah. Because I was trying to look for one that was the right voltage.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, cut long story short. The knockoffs are really janky. I mean, they're really dangerous.
That makes me feel better because the MagSafes have always been so expensive. Whenever you've needed to buy a second one or a replacement one, they're outrageous. They're like $60 to $80 if you buy them from Apple. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, this is a power brick. How are you charging me this amount of money for a power brick?
You're paying for some surprisingly sophisticated and really well-made technology.
So that does make me feel better that it's not going to explode and send shrapnel into my house and stuff.
Right.
Let's move on to this hacking issue, shall we? This was the big story this week, and let me set some groundwork here for people that don't know what we're even talking about. So in December 2015, Syed Rizwan Farouk and his wife went on the shooting rampage, killed a bunch of people in San Bernardino, California, in a terrorist attack, and the FBI recovered his iPhone 5C, and ever since then have been trying to break into it. And they can't because the encryption on it is so crazy good that they just haven't been able to get into it. And he has it set so that if you enter the wrong passcode in 10 times, the entire device breaks or, erases itself, right?
It may or may not. They don't actually know that.
Oh, they don't. Okay.
No.
So they're trying to be safe because they clearly don't want the device
right.
to
right. Well, they've tried it 9 times. They don't want to try yeah. it the 10th.
Oh, really? They did try it 9?
I made that up. But
I was like, did they really try to guess it 9 times? They're like, hey, we got 9 chances. We should at least try. Let's just right. try to guess
1, 2,
9.
3, 4. No. yeah, 0, right. 0, 0.
Wonder if they did that. I wonder if they went through and did like the most obvious ones just to see if it worked, right? And wouldn't that be funny if they did 1, 2, 3, 4 and it unlocked? And you know, they clearly we want them to gain access to this thing because this person was probably using this device to communicate with people that the FBI would want to speak to. So on Tuesday, a judge ruled that Apple had to provide reasonable, quote unquote, reasonable technical assistance to help the government recover data from the iPhone 5C, including bypassing the auto erase function and allowing investigators to bypass some of the security features on the phone, such as the ability to submit an unlimited number of passwords to the iPhone and to do so electronically, so not via the actual screen, but to be able to plug in like a lightning cable and do it electronically so that they could break into to this device. Well, Tim Cook and Apple are not happy about this, and Tim Cook posted an open letter on their website recently that you may have seen explaining why they don't want to help the government do this. And Edward Snowden, who is a famous internet privacy activist, said that this is one of the most important court cases about this type of thing, maybe ever. And I think I agree with him because has there ever been in history a piece of anything, like a notebook, a piece of technology, the government couldn't just subpoena from you and break into it, you know, somewhat easily? And now we're all walking around with these devices in our pockets that are virtually impossible to break into. And Apple is making an argument that they shouldn't have to help the government bypass the security features on the phone. Some people say they should. Some people say they shouldn't. I think I know where you guys are going to stand. Leander, what do you think?
Well, yeah, it's a fascinating discussion, isn't it? Because like you said, I mean, one of the interesting things that the FBI, from what I understand it, the suggestion is that they want Apple to create a custom OS specifically for this phone, only for this phone. And it'll be signed by Apple. So it'll be almost like when you update your phone from, you know, iOS 9.1 to iOS 9.2. But this custom version, you know, will have that security, the erase the device, if you get the passcode wrong, disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would try to brute force, so they would upload this custom OS onto that particular phone. It would have that one particular security feature disabled. And then they were going to try and brute force the password. So they were going to try and – they'd hook it up to a machine that would try – every combination, you know, until they finally got it. And if they, what were the estimates, Buster? They could do it in as little as 30 minutes.
Yeah, under 30
minutes.
If it
had a 4-digit passcode.
Right.
Right. And, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, it seems perfectly reasonable. You're right. I mean, you know, they're investigating a very important case. And it seems entirely reasonable that they just want to get a little bit of help for this one particular case. Right? Entirely reasonable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it does, when you describe it that way, especially, it does seem reasonable.
But, you know, obviously Tim Cook doesn't want to set a precedent. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what they're hoping, I mean, I saw some people, Snowden and the people that he was retweeting and conversing with were saying that they think that the government wants it to go to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So they set a precedent for this kind of thing.
Hmm.
And of course, you know, it raises all kinds of question. It's entirely reasonable in this case, it seems. But, you know, what about the next case? What about when they're, you know, they're investigating, political activists? Or what happens when China wants to do this or Iran, you know, and their jurisdictions, you know, maybe they can also try to, and China especially, you know, I think exposes the risk that Apple's putting. It's put at, you know, by doing this kind of thing, by making these kind of accommodations. There are a million and one different scenarios you can imagine where they may want to do this. And Apple has taken – this fight goes back to, you know, there was a big fight about encryption in the 90s, wasn't there? Exactly the same debate, that we're helping criminals and terrorists. But, you know, if you create a backdoor for one person or if you create some exceptions, it's an exception for everybody that everybody can exploit, governments or hackers. you know, Apple's taking this hard privacy stance. And I totally agree with it, actually. I mean, but it does open up this completely unprecedented era.
Yeah.
Where now we're entering completely new territory. You know, the idea is that nobody except the user should be able to access that data. And in fact, there was an interesting, someone was saying that what they're probably already thinking about is making sure that this request from the FBI opens up that a security hole that they probably didn't think of, which is the ability to install a custom OS with security, you know, sideways security, with features that can bypass the security. Mm-hmm. So that they're probably already thinking about the next OS update, you'll probably have to put in your password in order to do it. So that they close that particular loophole. Hmm. But yeah, it's fascinating. I agree with Apple because I think, you know, like, you can't have it both ways. There is only one way to do this, and you have to have absolute security.
I want to read you guys this quote from Marco Arment, who wrote about this on his website. He said, "This is an excuse to establish precedent and permanent backdoors for themselves." He's talking about the FBI. "So they can illegally spy on anyone's data whenever they please. They're shamelessly using a horrible tragedy to get themselves more power." It's easy to overreact when you read about the FBI's request to get information from Apple to help them unlock this thing. I don't actually agree with what Marco says here. I think that this is kind of an overreaching statement. Like just because the FBI wants help with this one device doesn't mean that they're trying to create this permanent backdoor so they can just illegally spy on anyone. I know that's a common thing to believe, especially from people online. But as you said, Leander, it's like, and as I've read online, people have said there are ways to unlock this one specific device, or to help them with this one specific device by using like the UDID, which is the phone's unique identifying number. Every phone has one. I'm not technical enough to understand if that's true or not, but when you think about it from that perspective, it's like, okay, well, clearly you want to help the FBI and government agencies to access the data they need to for people who are using their computers and their phones for illegal activities. But the other part of me thinks, well, to your example about China, Leander, I was reading that China mimics their policy closely on what happens in the U.S., and so they're going to be following this case as well. And this hacking issue isn't a U.S. issue. It's a global issue. And so if Apple buckles in this instance, China can then go to them, and their laws and their values may be very different from ours. And they could say, well, we want to unlock, you know, this phone, this other phone, and you did it in the U.S., and now we expect you to do the same thing here. In fact, China had done that before and eventually relented. But they could very easily come back and you know, that would compromise the security of all the people using iPhones in China. So it's a really complicated issue. I don't think it's cut and dry at all.
I don't think that is just for this one time, you know, when people say, well, it's just one phone. And I think that's the stand Tim Cook's making, is there's no way to guarantee that it will only be one time if they do it this one time for the FBI.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know about the China stuff, but there could be other ways for them to hack the phone too. John McAfee, the cybersecurity guy, wrote a letter
of McAfee antivirus.
Yeah, he has offered.
he's still working over there,
dude. He's running for president. He's still going crazy,
really?
Man. Yeah.
Wow. So I hope his advice is better than his antivirus software. Well, I'll just say that
he's like, I have a team of elite prodigy hackers, and we will social engineer it, and we will unlock the phone that way Apple doesn't have to. Like, that's his proposal. I think Chronic on Twitter, he suggested that you could unlock it through other means as well. And so that's what I think, that it actually is, like Marco is saying, is them reaching to get themselves more power, because once they set this up legally, then they're going to be able to do it not just with Apple, but with other companies as well, going back on this old law to use that for anything that they want to grab in the future and make more requests like this. I think that's what it's really all about.
I mean, I definitely see that side of the argument as well, because I mean, if they could get hackers to help them open this, but they're doing it via court, because I mean, look, all devices, they're all going to be like the iPhone eventually. Your computer is going to be encrypted. In fact, my computer is encrypted. Like, if you get my computer, it's worthless because I have my entire operating system encrypted. And I recommend that everyone else do too, actually, to keep your stuff secure. And eventually, all devices are going to be like the iPad. They're going to be like the iPhone. And the government is going to be unable to access anyone's data on any of these devices. But then you see people using their devices to, you know, do terrorist acts, to download or share like child porn and stuff. And you're like, man, you need the government to be able to get access to their data to form a case, right? I mean, that's how they're going to get these guys. So I don't know where the middle ground is.
Well, the debate goes back, you know, it goes back a long, long way. You know, I mean, anyone who is willing to give up some liberties for, you know, security and protection doesn't, you know, what's the famous quote? Doesn't deserve security or protection. You know, these are such important. This debate has been brewing for a long time. You know, since the beginning of sort of mass communications and it's especially pertinent now because everything we do is mediated by these devices. And look at all the Snowden revelations showed exactly how much spying the government was doing on ordinary citizens, you know, under the premise of, you know, protecting us. But, you know, look at all the things, like all the orders they were doing. I mean, they were getting thousands and thousands of requests from the courts, Google, Facebook, Apple, all the big tech companies, you know, to look into people's devices. And then when all the PRISM, you know, the Snowden revelations about the mass spying program and about all the data that the NSA was sucking up, you know, I mean, this Apple's stance was a strong reaction against that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that they felt that, I mean, it was going to hurt them abroad. There was a time, Charlie and was very, very suspicious about, you know, using Apple services. He's based in Europe and he didn't want to use Google email. I think people sort of came to this realization, didn't they, that not only governments but also companies too are sucking up all your data. And a lot of people realize that they don't want people looking over their shoulders. You know, there's the privacy thing, but there's also the security thing too. I mean, you know, when you're conducting commerce or business online, you know, who's seeing that? You don't want hackers to get hold of your credit card numbers. So Apple's, you know, I think there was a big sea change, a big change in the mentality. You know, this is why Apple's, you have the secure element, the whole Era 53. It's all related, isn't it, to Apple's taking a very, very strong stance on security and privacy. HomeKit is incredibly complex. Yeah. It does all kinds of security checks. There's no way you can get an unauthorized, you know, like they're looking for the situation where your nanny cam gets hacked, or someone puts in a fake nanny cam and tries to connect it to your HomeKit network, or a lock, or, you know, they try to do some code grabbing. Apple's taking a very, very strong stance, and I think it's absolutely right because, you know, we're entering this new era with the Internet of Things where you have to have absolute security, you have to have absolute privacy because the consequences are completely devastating. Can you imagine with your car? I mean, you know, there was some hackers last year hacked into the radio of a Jeep and took over the car's control system. They were able to accelerate it and disable the brakes.
Right.
You know,
right.
They were right into the very heart of this thing through the radio. It's just, and you know,
I mean, that could create a whole new class of terrorism.
Oh, right. Totally. Exactly. That's a good point. Exactly. Yeah. And many other things, you know, Apple's stance, you know, if you create a backdoor for somebody, it's a backdoor for everybody. And I think it's been shown over and over again. That's exactly true.
I have a canary camera in my living room, always watching, right? It's just sitting there all the time, always on. And via the canary app, you can log in and see what's happening in the living room at all times. And it is a little strange just leaving that thing there and leaving it on all the time, because even though I'm sure it's secure, you always got to think, man, what if somebody gained access to that camera and they saw me doing my nude yoga stretches in my living room in the afternoon, you know? Yeah. It's like, I don't want people seeing. I guess I don't mind. I mean, actually, I mean, I sell tickets online.
See, it's not just what, like, other people seeing it. It's what would hackers do if they have that ability to access all that information, and how can they use it against you in ways that you're not expecting, you know?
Right, remember the fappening, you know, they got all those...
Exactly. I do. Oh, I do remember. Photographs. yeah, that's right.
But it's my credit card has been canceled, I think, about three times in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because of data breaches at Target and at Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever, you know. millions and millions of credit cards have been swept up and are now in the hands of Russian hackers. And so my bank, you know, cancels my credit card and I get a new one. And then 3 months later, it happens again. And it's hugely disruptive and it's hugely crazy. I mean, I don't know how many millions of dollars that the credit card industry pays in penalties, you know, from fraud. It's something that we all ultimately pay for in terms of higher fees because, you know, right. they're taken out of us. But, you know, this, I think there have been so many data breaches, so many hacking incidents, so many failures of the current insecure data environment. You know, like the internet was never built to be secure. It's open, isn't it? I mean, you know, packets are easy to sniff on. And it can't be trusted for companies to take care of, you know, your security for you. I think, this debate has been going on, you know, like I said, for a long, long time. And and I think Apple's, you know, like is like Google. It's funny that Google has been kind of quiet about this. Did you see that kind of milquetoast statement yesterday?
No.
It was really kind of wishy-washy. Because Google's in one of the worst
They're in a very strange position, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you know, their whole business depends on spying on you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But we don't want the FBI to do it. I mean, we do it.
Yeah.
You know, the FBI, yeah. Like, we don't want them doing it.
That's a little bit too weird.
Yeah, that's overreach.
But we're going to sell you sure. shit, whatever, based on your Google searches. But, you know.
I mean, they're not planning on doing AdWords, are they? Because that's going to be a problem for us, FBI AdWords. Well, the whole game just stepped up. It's going to be very interesting to see where this whole thing goes. Everyone's going to be watching this because this is one of those legal proceedings that's going to set a major precedent for our time. And as Leander said, we've been building to this forever because companies want you to feel safe using your devices and, you know, the law enforcement agencies. I mean, they want to do their jobs. I think some of them are nefarious and maybe just want to spy on you all day long. I know people talk about the NSA and, you know, how they just want to suck up all your data. But I think there are legitimate reasons people want your data and need your data and should have your data. And I somewhat feel bad for like cops and FBI agents who are really just trying to keep us safe in a lot of different instances and can't. And these criminals are being protected.
Yeah, but, you know, weakening everybody's, protections for those edge cases. I can totally understand the cop's point of view and how they make this. And it seems that it's a barrier for them. But I think it it also weakens everybody else's protections.
Right. You don't want to see that happen. There has to be a way to give it to them or to allow them to do their work without compromising the rest.
And there's loads of other tools that this could, you know, that these arguments could apply to, from everything from firearms to cars. You know, I mean, like cars are used in crimes too, right? But people don't, law enforcement doesn't have any special restrictions on automobiles, you know, because they're used in some crimes.
Perhaps they should, Leander. Right. Have you pitched that to your local law enforcement?
Well, there's been a lot of talk. Even look at the gun industry. You know, they have fingerprint guns. You know, that palm print guns or whatever, right? That only can be fired by a fingerprint. Yeah, by the owner. And they've resisted this, you know, for a long time, and will continue to resist it. But there's definitely, like Marco's point, and I think it's definitely true. There's definitely something to you know, his point of view, which is definitely the more extreme end of the sort of, you know, the libertarian, you know, total privacy point of view. But a lot of this came because of government overreach into spying and looking at people's devices. So, you know, this is in response to that, and it's swung the other way.
You're right. I mean, the FBI is looking at the NSA, shaking their heads. They're like, you screwed us, man. You really screwed us, bro. Because the NSA stuff really has contributed to a lot of people being very sensitive to this type of thing now. Whereas before, we may not necessarily have paid attention to it as much.
Right. But look at how companies like AT&T behaved, you know, before this. You know, they allowed the NSA into the big data hubs. And we're setting up these secret rooms, which were sucking in all the traffic, and they were completely secret. You know, I mean, they were actually
and Verizon was doing it too. I think several of them were.
Right, probably all of the big carriers. You know, and people didn't know this for years. It's pretty outrageous that this was allowed to happen and that the companies were so complicit in doing this.
It kind of gives you a new respect for Apple, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
Like,
absolutely.
I mean, really, I mean, I've always kind of felt like Apple was on our side. And now that this just kind of reinforces that sentiment that they really are on our side. They're trying to do what's best for us. We're their customers. We're the ones paying them. And they're trying to keep us safe.
Yeah, but more so, I think they have a more forward-looking view of the entire technology landscape where, you know, technology mediates everything. And all of our devices, I mean, like, you know, it has a lot to do with the coming Internet of Things, where there's a chip and a connection, an Internet connection to every single thing you own. You know, your clothes, your shoes, your car. And I think it's looking towards that era where you can't have back doors. You can't have security holes. It will not function. It will come crashing down.
It would ruin, that entire vision of the future.
Oh, heck, yeah. The thing won't work. This is an important, keystone of that coming era.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. If you don't feel safe putting your stuff out there in some type of 24/7 fashion where technology is just always connected to your everything, then you're just not going to use that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there are good technical business reasons to do it too.
All right, guys. Well, we should go ahead and move on to the final segment of the show. But before we do that, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Can I just tell you what a pleasure it is to update your Squarespace site? So I have two Squarespace sites. We have thecultcast.com, which is where we keep all the show notes and everything. And we just set up two of our listeners, actually, who are helping us keep the site updated with the show notes and stuff. And it was so easy to do. You just set up some contributors, and within no time, those people are set up to go into your site and update the content for you. Also, on thecultcloth.co, I'm adding some new sections, and I was going through and just kind of adding some stuff that we needed to add. It's so easy to do in Squarespace. The entire thing is drag and drop. They have all these blocks that you can put into the websites and move around and customize and set up exactly how you like, and the entire thing is done without any coding at all. I think the magic of Squarespace is, although it's so easy to use, everything that you do is going to look very, very good because they have top-tier designers working at Squarespace to build out these templates that you use. And these guys have a great eye for design. Not only are you going to save yourself a ton of time and money by setting up your site yourself and updating your content by yourself, but your site is going to look great on any device that visits, no matter it be an iPad, a Mac, a Windows device, doesn't matter. Squarespace does a bunch of magic in the background to convert all your images and videos and everything else, all your different content, to make it look great on any device that visits. If you need a website, I absolutely cannot recommend Squarespace any more highly. Go check it out at squarespace.com. You can get set up in no time with a 2-week free trial where you can build a website and see it for yourself in action. And then if you like what you see, if you want to continue your service, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 10% off any order. I recommend that you get a year of service. It's cheaper to do it that way. Plus, you'll get 10% off a year of service, which will save you more money in the long run. That's squarespace.com. The code is CULTCAST at checkout. I want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Alrighty, guys. Well, let's wrap it up with an all new what we're into, because we're not doing faves and raves. And faves and raves. And
so
you wanted someone to spell it.
I was waiting for one of you guys to take it.
No.
I wanted to hear one of you guys go full falsetto, but no, you guys wouldn't. What do you guys got? Leander, what are you so into these days? Is it spying on other people via their Nest cameras or
their cams,
the Canary cameras, hacking into their cameras? And
I try to set up a raccoon cam. We have these raccoons that come in and they take, for some reason, our roof above our kitchen is a raccoon
haven
bathroom.
Oh, really? They come onto the top of your kitchen and
climb
take
on
big
the
poops?
Roof. Yeah, take a big poop up there. So
maybe they're trying to tell you something.
Right. So we try to set up this raccoon cam, and then my son was trying to set it up, and it's round. It's like a little ball that goes onto a magnetic base. Mm-hmm. And he fumbled it, and it went bonk, bonk, bonk all the way down the roof, and then bang, right into the neighbor's garden.
Can I ask, you realize that you have a raccoon problem where they're taking big dumps on your roof, and your decision was to say, hey, you know what we need to do? we need to watch these raccoons take poops up there. This is going to be great. What are you, some kind of sick voyeur?
Yeah, yeah, we're going to stream it. We just want to see what they were doing. It was so peculiar. Well, it's even worse than that because we had a chair that was like a – we had a couple of chairs stacked up there, you know, patio chairs.
This just keeps getting worse.
I don't know why I stacked them on the roof because I wanted to get them out of the way. There was no easy way to put them, so I put them on the
roof.
So
naturally, you stored them on the roof. Well,
they're going to the bathroom on top of the chairs, so it's even weirder. it's just in that one particular spot. Uh-huh. And so we just want to see what they, you know, why are they partying up there? Is there like, you know, are there groups of raccoons? And then we see all these raccoon prints all around the house. They're everywhere. So I don't know. We just want to see what they're up to.
Is that what you're into, raccoon voyeurism? No, no. Is that what I got from your little show?
My pick was going to be that the People versus O.J. Simpson on Showtime.
Oh, God.
Did I talk about this last week?
No, I don't even think I've heard about this.
You haven't heard about it?
No.
Buster, why did you react like that?
I don't know. I just am tired of O.J. stuff. That's all.
I'm still tired of it. Yeah. It's been 20 years. Yeah. I'm still tired.
Oh, this show is great.
Is it?
It's great. It's some of the best TV I've seen for a long time. It is awesome.
Is it a miniseries or is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It has to be. Okay.
It's a miniseries. And I think it's like in 10 parts, 10, 12 parts. And they've had like three so far. But it is, the cast is amazing. Huh. It's got John Travolta, Sarah Paulson, who plays Marsha Clark, Cuba Gooding Jr., who plays OJ himself. He's actually kind of one of the weakest ones because it's hard to like capture. He doesn't, you know, the resemblance to OJ isn't. OJ is so well known that it's difficult. It's like, you know, Fassbender playing Steve Jobs, right? Mm-hmm. You have to kind of channel the spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't nail this impression. But you know, for somebody who is clearly a murderer but is pretending not to be, Gooding Jr. does a great job. But it begins with the discovery of the bodies, and I thought, and there's no sound. It's like 10 minutes, and there's no music. It's very straightforward. I thought it was unbelievably suspenseful.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Well,
I'm just joking. Go
and ahead. Then it's an examination of, you know, LA policing, uh-huh, class, race, celebrity, the justice system. And it's all, and this is what I love going on about political TV. This is political TV par excellence. It talks about all of these issues that are current now. Huh. Black Lives Matter, you know.
This sounds like, hearing you describe it, I'm like, this sounds like something you would love.
It's funny. And
all
it's
these
funny
like heated political issues all embroiled in one show.
It's talking about our times and it's not fake, phony rubbish. Like, you know, a lot of crime shows are like sort of, you know, they're like Sherlock Holmes, right? There's some super villain and there's a super smart detective who follows the clues. There's a billion and one red herrings. It's all completely unrealistic. And it just doesn't say anything about our current times. I just love entertainment that engages with our current times, that tells you something about, you know, society.
Well, clearly, you need to be watching that show with Ice Cube. Which one's that? Which one is that? Like CSI Miami or something?
Yeah. Right.
Because if you want to see some fine, you know, investigative acting, that's what you need to be watching.
Yeah, they kind of drive me crazy, those shows. They're so completely divorced from all kinds of any reality whatsoever. Yeah, right. Although, you know, I kind of like Law and Order sometimes because they're slick shows and they're clever whodunits. They're clever mystery shows. But this I think is drama par excellence, and it's fast moving and it's super funny. Like there was some, and it's sharp. It's like it's intelligent.
In another life, I think that you should have been like a Sherlock Holmes type character. You just strike me as the type of guy who'd make a great investigator. You had that cool hat with the magnifying glass.
Cool hat.
The cool hat that looks like a boat.
Yeah,
you need a good sidekick. Maybe Buster or Alex could be your sidekick. You just go around solving crimes and making really witty British commentary about clues that you find and stuff. Something to consider, Leander.
Yeah,
when you're done, when you're done with journalism, it's something to think about.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thought.
It was what did you say it was called, Leander?
The People versus O.J. Simpson.
People versus O.J. Simpson. I'm surprised I haven't heard about this, but I don't have cable.
It's on Showtime. So. It's great. It's really good.
Oh, okay. That's probably why. All right, Buster, what do you got?
I was going to choose a TV show
okay.
called Vinyl.
Of course,
oh, really?
I haven't heard of
it. Yeah, have you seen it?
No, no, I read the reviews, though. It got panned.
What? I don't know. Well, there was only one episode so far, and it's 2 hours long almost.
Mm-hmm. And what channel is it on?
It's on HBO.
Oh, okay.
But I actually thought it was great. I don't know. I mean, I didn't live through the 70s, so maybe it's like totally like bullshit and just like very like aggrandizing the entire era in some ways. But I don't know. So far, it's pretty fun. I dig Ray Romano's character. Like, it's basically like these shady record industry guys trying to screw over different bands. And you have like appearances from, you know, supposedly like, you know, who comes up in it? Like Led Zeppelin, Donny Osmond. I don't know, bunch of other like bands from the 70s, Aerosmith, ABBA, all in the first episode. It's pretty, I don't know. I thought it was crazy. I dug the cinematography a lot. And yeah, I don't know. Why did people hate it?
Well, I just read a couple of things, you know, in the critics saying that they said that the pilot, they often get, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 episodes. So they said the pilot was great, but then it really goes off the rails and becomes really stinky after for the next few episodes.
All right, well, we'll have to see if that happens.
Yeah, it got. But I agree with you. It looks totally, because it's like, you know, set in New York in the 70s, isn't it? When New York like,
just
really
trashed,
dangerous.
Man. Yeah, yeah, like I'm watching it with my wife, and we're like, oh man, New York just looks crazy. Just insane, like a whole, like I think the first one of the first scenes or the end of this, like a whole building falls on people at one point, like during like a rock concert. It's just, and you know, there's tons
of awesome
cocaine and drugs everywhere. It sounds like a great time to be alive. That's all.
It was, because it's like after the sexual revolution, but pre-AIDS,
right?
So
you go to Studio 54 and just do cocaine and dance moves all night long.
Yeah.
Right. Yep,
I bet you Leander did that.
I was 11.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Not that old.
Oh, really? Were you at that time?
Yeah, I was born in the '60s.
Oh, okay. Well, I bet you still went. You're such a deviant.
Yeah,
you were probably still there anyway. You didn't care.
I'd love to have gone, but no, I was a partying guy.
Leander was the 11-year-old in the tight leather jeans smoking a cig with a long hair.
You go to Studio 54, you're like, who is that crazy cool 11-year-old?
Studio 54. I was at the church hall, you know, like at the disco at the behind the red, what is it called? The Old Bull. On a Friday night, where it was like a bunch of 16-year-olds, like really trashed on some cheap cider.
And then getting knuckle
puking
fights.
Out in, you know, puking out in the back thing, and you try to be like snogging some girl.
You get puked on by El Caney. That sounds great. All right, well, we'll wrap it up with this one. I actually have a pick that I'm going to recommend for people. And I've been having so much fun with this app. It's too much fun, really. It's the number one app in the App Store.
Tidal?
At least as far as when I got my hands on it, it probably still is. It's called Face Swap Live.
Oh, God.
You guys played with this?
Everybody's doing that app.
Dude, it's so much fun. I've had endless amounts of laughs using this thing, face swapping with just about everyone I know, my pets, my friends, kids. And you don't think it's going to be fun until you do it, and then you cannot help but just laugh your balls off because it's so ridiculous seeing your face on another person. I mean, the thing about it is it's your face, but it's on another person, and their face is on you. I mean, it's crazy. And what you don't realize about the app is it doesn't just do an image. So it's actually kind of genius. You can actually do a video, and it will do a live video face swap. So you can sit there, and as you're recording the video, your faces are swapped. And I mean, as stupid as it sounds, Buster, have you tried it?
No, I have not tried it.
It's
guilty.
It's super fun. Okay. And you haven't lived until you've seen your face on a female, especially with that big beautiful.
I've seen so many of my friends, like married couples. We're laying in bed, face swapping. Ha ha. My wife's got a beard. This is awesome.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just
she's
like,
got
okay.
a beard, which is crazy because she can't grow a beard. Yeah.
The pictures on the web look really funny. Like where people they're all babies.
Yeah,
people
like
holding
babies. Yeah,
so
yeah.
The adult has a baby's face and vice versa. Yeah,
which
is
crazy.
A pretty good one with a cat. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, you can switch your face with all sorts of stuff. Leander, it's so the app is a buck.
A dollar?
Oh, man, a dollar? That means I got to relook at my budget for the month and probably not buy groceries. Yeah, it's a dollar, and it's well worth a dollar. Leander, you would love it. You got so many kids over there.
Yeah, it looks a lot of fun, actually.
You should definitely check it out. Anyway, Face Swap Live, that's my pick. And I think that's going to wrap it up, guys. Unless anyone has any honorable mentions. No.
Kanye West's new album?
Are you listening to it on Tidal?
No, dude. I downloaded that stuff.
You and 500,000 other people.
Oh, I'm sure it's got to be more than that by now.
It's probably 2 million is now. Yeah,
did he respond to your tweet, Buster? I know I saw you tweeted at Kanye to say, dude, you're forcing me to steal your album.
This is your fault. Hey. I can't believe you're making me do this, you bastard.
I didn't say he's forcing me to. I'm just saying that if you gave people an option between shit and, I don't want to do this, but I want your album. Okay, I'll just do it. I don't know.
Okay, I'm not condoning anything, but you're right. I mean, it's like if you're like, I'm not going to make my album available anywhere else but on Tidal, no one is going to subscribe to Tidal just to listen to your album. I take that back.
Well,
no intelligent person is going to subscribe to Tidal just to listen to your album. They're going to go and steal it. And so, yes, as sad as that is about our society that happens, that is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, they offer, there's a free 30-day sign-up, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they have a free trial. Okay.
I think they did a free trial. So my son signed up, and we were playing Kanye all weekend.
And let's be honest, 30 days with his album is enough.
Well, you can stream it for free straight from KanyeWest.com.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh,
so you don't even got to steal it.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But you can always come say hi to us on Twitter. I'm at Airflon, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Okay,
awkward silence.
Oh, you're hungry, and I would like.
Say, give me something good to work with for the end of the show here. Give me something good. I don't know. Can you make a good goat noise?
No.
I bet you got a great goat.
Goats.
Okay, well, sorry. Maybe a sheep. Dude. How about a sheep? You're ready to do some.
Sorry, I'm eating my salmon as usual.
Of course. Man, you eat a lot of salmon.
What's up with the salmon? Fish lover over there.
Yeah, right. Excuse me. When I go to the gym, the trainer gives me fish.
Oh.
When you're at the gym?
Mm-hmm. One of his other clients works at a fish wholesaler.
Yeah?
So she brings him, like, whole salmon.
Wow.
And he cuts it up and gives it to his other clients.
Just to, like, help you with your recovery?
Well, he bribes me. If I go in and do some cardio, he'll give me a piece of fish, so he bribes me.
What a weird relationship with your trainer.
Gotta come in, yeah.
Like, instead of, like, yelling at you, he, like, holds a piece of cod above your head as you do sit-ups.
I got like, yeah.
Work out, you puss. You get this cod. You want this cod, don't you? Don't act like you don't.
That's exactly what it's like. I'm having to go to the gym an awful lot these days.